You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at spinquest.com. SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at spinquest.com. SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit spinquest.com for more details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stand. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and Ruben Amorim says he's wrong. This is your latest Manchester United news. I go away for a few days, and Ruben Amorim looks like he's losing the plot. He's having a go at our youth players. He's changing his formation. He's admitting that the ex-players are right to criticise him. Is this a manager that you now feel sorry for? Because I certainly do. I certainly do, and I don't think it's the behavioural traits of somebody that's secure in his position. He seems to be trying to please everybody and losing his way. I mean, look, we're hearing about him changing his formation. Now, it might only be because the AFCON's coming and he's going to lose some players, but there's been many opportunities to change his formation, and he has said, I'm not for changing. Here he is saying, I'm going to change. We'll talk about that. Also, talking about young players, saying Amas is struggling on loan, Obi's can't even get in the 21s, Mainoo's not good enough. I mean, is this the sort of message we need from a manager when you're very, very reluctant to criticise senior pros that we don't even want at the football club? I mean, in the same interview that he's basically shitting on the youth, he's glazing Luke Shaw. So, look, we'll talk about that as well. He's also responded to what Paul Scholes has said and the criticism from ex-players. The funny thing about that is we see United fans telling ex-players to stop. And then you've got Ruben Amorim saying, no, they're right. I am to blame. We are playing bad football. You know, we have to do better. So this is why I said to you on that video I did on Saturday, the club are failing yet another manager here because he is just out there on his own, defending himself from everything, changing his formation, you know, just making mistakes in the presser, talking about youth. Do they not have somebody to speak to Ruben Amorim before he does an interview and say, just don't mention this. If you are asked about this, just say that. Because it's like shooting yourself in the foot. You know, it's crazy. But look, he does have a match tonight, which I think we've got a good chance of winning. And results are what are going to help him. But I feel like with Amorim, I mean, look, let me get straight into this. This has come in from The Athletic. After the Wolves game, Amorim told the players that a formation change would come and work has been done at Carrington. The manager is looking at adapting his formation to more like a 4-3-3. A significant amount of time during the training sessions in preparation for the visit of Bournemouth today has been dedicated to the side lining up in that shape, more like a 4-3-3, according to sources close to the club. I mean, it's great that sources from the club are leaking our new formation before the head of a game again, isn't it? I mean, look, I know people think about leaks being, you know, negative things, but, you know, we're changing formation and everybody knows it. Brilliant. But you know what I would say about this? You know where my frustration is that there's a lot of people going, yeah, we're playing a 4-3-3. We're playing a 4-3-3. I can't believe the day has come. You know what I'm thinking? This is embarrassing. It's bloody embarrassing. Whether it's for the month of AFCON or it's forever or, you know, whatever. It's so embarrassing because this manager has told us he's not for changing. I won't change. I can go and get the bloody quotes from previous press conferences. I will not change. I am not going to change the way I play. I'm not changing. I'm changing. Can I just surprise you? I'm changing. That was always my plan to change. And the embarrassing thing is, not Amorim changing. Basically, what's happened is what many of us predicted. Ineos and whoever works on that board are clueless when it comes to football, right? They've seen a good manager at Sporting. They've gone, he's doing well and we're shit. Doing well manager, shit club, doing well club. They never looked at the fact that he played 3-4-3. They've just gone, good manager, crap club, good manager at crap club, good club. And they've never looked at the fact that our team doesn't suit 3-4-3 unless you spend half a billion and he is not a 4-3-3 manager. So they've brought this guy over who plays a certain way, who spent the last 12 months being ridiculed, going, but I'm a 3-4-3 manager. I'm not going to change. Like, this is who I am. This is who I am. This is what I do. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change. He's then not been backed properly by the owners and realised, I'm basically getting the sack if I don't play 4-3-3 because I can't play 3-4-3 with these players. So now we've got a guy who is a 3-4-3 manager who was brought into the club to play 3-4-3, who is now going to be playing a 4-3-3. And the question has to be, why did we employ him in the first place? What is it we're now getting out of Amorim if he becomes a 4-3-3 manager? Because it might work, and God hope, I hope it does. But what did we recruit him for? He's never played a 4-3-3. So if he becomes a 4-3-3 manager and it works, that's just pure vibes. That's not a plan. And it exposes what Man United are now. An absolute circus where every plan we have is basically hands on knees and pray. It's just pure vibes. You know, we've got a manager that's going to play a formation he doesn't play to suit the players because they're used to it. I mean, it's not, you know what? People will ridicule Amorim for it. It's not really, I mean, obviously it makes Amorim look weak. I understand that. You know, I'm not for changing, and he changes. But what really makes me laugh is, and I'm not laughing, I'm frustrated, is that everything they've been saying about Amorim for 12 months is in the bin. You know, we've now got a 4-3-3 manager that's never played it in his career. Great. The plan's working really good there. So was this the plan? And this is the mic drop, right? So if I could speak to Sir Jim Radcliffe or Omar Berada or Jason Wilcox, I would say, so when you appointed him a year ago, was the plan for him to go to a 4-3-3? Well, end of the day. No, was the plan to go to a 4-3-3 after a year of shit results and performance? Well, you know, you've got to be adaptable at the end of the day. You didn't have a fucking clue, did you? Just own it up. You've made a big fucking mistake and now it's desperation stations going to a 4-3-3 to try and get the best out of the players because they can't do the formation that he plays. So effectively, what's the plan now? Has Amorim got to become successful on the job doing a formation he's never done? Or is this the beginning of the end? Is he going to go back to a 3-4-3? Because I tell you what, if we play a 4-3-3, the minute he does it, he's never going to get to go back to a 3-4-3 because you've given the media what they want, you've given the fans what they want, and they'll go back to a 4-3-3 every time he tries and does it. So I think it's surprising. But look, ultimately, I think We're a 4-3-3 team until we... If we're not going to remove the players and give Amrim the right players, we are still a 4-3-3 team with a 3-4-3 manager, ultimately. Anyway, great to have you back. Not covered in geese feathers, Mark. Big up Terry and Beth for doing a great job covering, says Tom Grant. Yeah, they did. Thank you very much for covering me on Friday. I still think I did shows on Saturday and Sunday and they didn't. But, you know, big up for them on Friday. Doing their job, in the words of Roy Keane. Now, look, I've had a break. I will be on the banter. You know, I'm re-energized and ready to go. So thank you very much, Tom Grant. Appreciate that. AJ says, do you think this is AFCON related? Losing Ahmad and Mbeumo means our 3-4-3 would be terrible. I think being able to adapt his approach short term shows maturity. Yes. Well, look, there is context. This is what he said. He said, we need to adapt a bit by the way we're going to play the games. And that is a good opportunity to do that because we cannot think we're going to play the same way without Ahmad and Mbeumo and Mazraoui, but especially Ahmad and Brian, because that's, you know, they've got certain characteristics. They have more or less the same characteristics, the both of them. So it's a good opportunity to play in a different way. I think we need to work on the variability of the way we play, especially in the build-up. I think we need to find different ways to, you know, play. Completely fine. But is this not the same manager that says, I'm not for changing? I'm not going to change my formation. I'm not for changing. So he loses a couple of players and he's changing his formation. Read it how you want to read it. Absolutely. But I would also say as well, the minute he goes to a 4-3-3, he ain't going back to a 3-4-3. Because the minute he's done that, he's shown that he can play a 4-3-3 and everybody will be going, go back to the 4-3-3. It suits us better. So... I think it's a mistake. I think he's making a mistake. I think we're better in a 4-3-3, but I think he's undermined himself massively. But it gets worse. It gets worse because this is what he had to say about the youth. And look, this is where I thought I was going to be starting the show, but it's basically a hat trick of Amrim, really, where he's just basically taking the blame. He said, look, talking about the youth players at Man United, I mean, he did take the time to glaze Luke Shaw, by the way. Big up Luke Shaw again. I mean, it's incredible that he spends an interview kissing the arse of Luke Shaw again for about the third week in a row, but then goes on to say this about some of the youth players at Manchester United. So basically he says, asked if he rates Kobbie Mainoo, he says, of course, but in the end, it's going to be the training, the games. Of course, he's not playing many games, but Kobbie has had opportunities, especially last year. Everyone has. Amas is now struggling in the Championship. Chido is not always a starter in the under-21s. All these guys played when a lot of people were saying sack the manager. So you can see I'm not worried. I just want to win. And if he's the right guy, I will put him in. And I tell you what, you know, when I read that this morning, I was fuming. I was absolutely fuming because I thought, you know what? You've took the time in an interview again to glaze Luke Shaw, who's been decent, but not as good as people think he's been. You know, he's not been bloody brilliant. In most second halves, he's shit. But now let's big up Luke Shaw, a player that's got zero future at this football club, who's rinsed it for years with injury, and he's only trying to get back in the fucking England squad and has picked England over Man United before. Let's glaze him over what the club's actually all about. Youth, courage and development. But no, let's glaze a fucking experienced player who's already chosen England over us in the past. Let's glaze that and let's go in on youth. Brilliant. I love the new motto. So what's the new motto? Glaze mercenaries and shit on the youth. Brilliant, brilliant. If that's the plan under Ineos, let's rewrite what we're all about. And I tell you what, go fuck yourselves. Absolutely idiotic. Idiotic to speak like that about youth players when this fan base is always going to have the back of youth because that's what we do. Busby babes, class of 92, we always want youth in the team. And, you know, to do that in the same interview is crazy. Now, look, I must admit, the Amas one didn't bother me as much as it's bothered some of you. I've seen loads of people go mad because he said Amas is struggling in the Championship. There may well be a language barrier there. You know, not every word he gets right. It's a bit like Ten Hag and Van Gaal and sometimes Mourinho. You don't always get the best interpretation because Amas is not struggling in the Championship. Sheffield Wednesday are struggling in the Championship. He's doing bloody well. The loan deal for him is brilliant. He's not going to get relegated with Sheffield Wednesday. He can come, go get a move, go somewhere else. So he's having a bloody great time. So say he's struggling, that's just a bit lazy because, you know, he could have said Amas is in a struggling team in the Championship but doing really well. Amas is now struggling in the Championship is not the truth. It's very unfair. To say that Chido's not starting for the under-21s and not give any clarity to that, that he's, you know, he's had injuries and stuff like that, you know, it makes it sound like he's not very good. Like last season, we had to use him in a team that was shit. Now we don't need to use him and he's not even good enough for the 21s. And then the Mainu one, look, I've had my say about Mainu. You know what I think. I'm quite willing to play the long game on this one. I think he's a fantastic talent where we've already had it proven to us. Like, you can talk about chances and we'll talk about that in a moment. But I've seen Mainu in an England shirt, more importantly, in a Man United shirt. And there's no way that at 18 years of age, he's talented and at 20, he's washed up and shit. I just don't buy into that at all. And also, what happened to the fact that maybe he is struggling? Maybe he is not where he needs to be. What happened to the fact that Man United are meant to, you know, be about improving youth? What happened to the fact that Man United are meant to be about developing players? Are we just abandoned that now? I don't think it's the way to speak about our youth. I really do not think it is. I think it shows an ignorance. I think it shows a laziness to speak in that way. And you can't do that at Man United. And as for, you know, this is where he's going wrong. This is where he needs help. Because winning tonight will help him. Results will help him, right? But Villa's going to be tough next Sunday. Newcastle, well, they did lose to Sunderland. If they come and park the bus event against us, maybe we'll get something. But he's got some difficult games coming up, where if we're off the pace, we'll get beat. So to say that at the end of the day with Mainu, it's about what he's doing in training. But you said 2 weeks ago, he's been brilliant in training and deserves to start. And now we're being told he's not good enough in training. And now we're being told that he's had opportunities, especially last year. He's not started one Premier League game. And it's the context that's key here. Like, you haven't given him opportunities. Certainly not this season. And you can't say it's because he's shit in training, because you told us 2 weeks ago and the week before that he's really good in training and he deserves to start. So what's the truth? Is he shit in training? Is he great in training? And where are the opportunities that you're meant to be giving him this season? Because last season's a very different season to this year. We finished 15th last year. There's a lot of players from last year that were fucking awful who are starting games now. So why are we talking about last season? And I think the facade is starting to fall. You know, because it's like we're talking about training, but last 2 weeks ago he was good in training. We're now talking about he's had opportunities, but last year, what, in the Europa League final? Didn't start that game, we were shite. 15th, I mean, the reality is Casemiro and Bruno haven't played that well either. So, look, we're going around the houses here, but my general feeling is that United need to get a grip of this and start managing the football club. You know, we constantly talk about there are no people in that football club who understand what the club's about. And these types of interviews prove that. Who is nurturing and coaching Ruben Amorim to deal with the press in this country and what he says and the impact that's going to have on the fan base? There are certain things you can do at Liverpool and Manchester United. There's certain things you can do at Birmingham City and Sheffield Wednesday. But you've got to understand those clubs. And somebody should be saying to him, don't say stuff like that about the youth. You know, don't say stuff about that like that about the youth. It's incredible. And also, I think with regards to, well, look, let me talk to you about what he said. I want to get into some of your comments and we have got time, but this is what he said about the criticism from ex-players over his treatment of Mainu. He says, the problem is that I, as manager, I'm not doing my job well enough. That's a fact and I can accept it. The problem is that Man United is not winning and is not in the position where it should be. He said, it's normal as Man United manager that I'm getting comments from ex-players. I'm underperforming. We should have more points, especially this season. So I accept it, even if they sometimes don't have all the information. They see Man United through the standards they knew, so it's hard for them to see the club in this situation. And this is what I mean. Like, you know what? I feel sorry for Amorim because I don't think he has got anybody around him who knows about the football club and he doesn't know about it. It's like the blind leading the blind. And it's absolutely a credit to you as United fans that you keep saying, what is the vision of this football club? What are the standards of this football club? What's happened to this football club? And the honest answer is, this ain't going to change because it's very, very clear that people like Berardo, Wilcox, Fevell, Radcliffe, Amorim, the Glazers especially, they don't actually know what Man United is. They're just a bunch of people trying their best to make Man United great again. But it's like, you know, rest in peace, your great gran, who used to make a lovely, you know, I don't know, a lovely cake at Christmas. And it was delightful. And everybody remembers it. And then everyone's like, shit, no one took the recipe down. So everyone's trying to go, let's make cake like Great Granny did. But nobody can replicate it because nobody actually learned. No one took down the ingredients. And it feels like that's what's happening at United. I'm not denying for one minute that these people are trying to make Man United great again. But they clearly don't have the ingredients or the knowledge because it's so many mistakes all the time. All the time. Mixed messages. Like, it's incredible. And the thing I would sympathize with Amrim about is that, look,
okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
SpinQuest Social Casino. The presents are open and you're over the in-laws. It's a perfect time to grab your phone and play SpinQuest.com with live dealer blackjack, craps, and a ton of slots. And here's a great deal for the holiday, a $30 coin pack for $10. And if you're hearing this ad, you can play right now on SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Over the weekend, I was talking about Scholes' comments because they're very similar to mine. They're very similar to some of yours. The football's crap. The vision is crap. And we're just surviving on results. Is that what Man United's all about? Why is that acceptable? And a lot of people said, oh, no, it needs to stop. It needs to stop. We need to back the manager and it needs to stop. But then the manager comes out to his credit and says, they're right. They're right. We're not playing good football. We're not winning enough games. And that's because of me. So you've got a manager that, like, is taking criticism and accepting criticism, even though some of the fan base are trying to defend him from that criticism. He actually agrees with it. He actually agrees with it and says, no, I am responsible. But he's not responsible on his own, though, is he? He's not responsible on his own. He's a guy that may play 4-3-3 tonight, and it's not even his thing because he hasn't got the players to play his system. He loses two players to the AFCON and he can't do it. Whose fault's that? You know, he's brought in to play a certain way and he hasn't got the players to do it. That's on the ownership. You know, he's making mistakes in interviews about the youth, saying things he shouldn't be saying. Whose fault's that? Well, it's the people who employed him for not educating him, you know. And Amrim talking about anything, really, he needs support from above. He's surviving at the moment. He's just surviving on results. And let's hope he gets a result tonight. But the problems, the cracks are starting to show, aren't they? And maybe we can cover those cracks up and maybe we can survive. But these are big problems. They're big problems. And this is why I've been saying for a while that it's, you know, it's PRV. It's performance, results and vision. At the moment, results are helping him. But the vision and performance are still being spoken about even when we win games. So those two things are really important. But I feel like we've got people at the club who just think, well, as long as he keeps getting results, everything's going to be fine. And I don't necessarily agree with that. You know, I think it's problematic. I'm just very glad we've got a game tonight, because if we win that, it does just change the story a little bit. I feel like you're overlooking the fact that we're losing three players, says SMYK. But no, I'm not overlooking it, mate. I'm not. It's about interpretation and context and what you want to do about it. But I'm very lost on a manager that's told us for a year, I'm not for changing. I'm not going to change my formation. I've always played this way and I'm not going to change it. Oh, I've lost a couple of players to AFCON. I'm changing. That shouldn't be happening. You shouldn't lose three players and change your entire formation. That shouldn't happen at all. It's not an injury crisis. It's something you knew about in August. We knew about this. And look, mate, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying it's not because players are going to the AFCON. What I'm saying is, how bloody embarrassing is it that you're a 3-4-3 manager, you've told everybody you're not going to change, you knew they were going to the AFCON in August, and here you are having to change because you haven't got the players. We haven't got the players to play his system. That's what that mess. If he changes his system for the next month, we haven't got the players to play his system. And we know this. All it is a stand down. All it is an acceptance from the manager that he can't play this system if he loses two or three players. Do you think Pep Guardiola is going to change his system because he loses two or three players? It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for him, but fair play to him for actually going, there's no point in me losing games trying to play my system with these players because I've lost two players. But it's not an injury crisis. It's the AFCON. We knew about it in the summer. This squad is ill-prepared to play his system, and that comes down to the owners for me, 100%. SWFC says, I don't be Ruben when he said Amas is struggling. He's absolutely flying. One of the best left-backs in the league this season by far. We just can't score. Exactly. And thank you very much, Sheffield Wednesday fan Turner there. Yeah, I mean, look, maybe the Amas comment is a language barrier thing, but it's ultimately, he could have said a lot more as well. It was very dismissive, and he's been brilliant this season. He really has. 4-3-3, we're going to recall Rashford in January, says Robert McCormack. I don't think he'd come back. Ruth says, why are you shocked? Look at the Nice win/loss ratio. And Jack Glancy says, it's not the first time he's changed his formation. He started with the 4-4-2 at Casapierre to suit his squad, then 3-4-3 before moving to Braga. So Casapierre, which is probably where he started his management career, great. That really fills me with confidence that he's going back to what he did at Casapierre right at the start of his career. Brilliant. Thanks, Jack. Great to have you back. Not covered. Thank you very much. Done that from Don. Surely it's AFCON related. Losing Ahmad and Mbeumo means our 3-4-3 would be terrible. I think being able to adapt his approach short term shows maturity. Well, as I said, AJ, I think it shows a complete and utter lack of backing from the ownership that he loses two players in Ahmad and Mbeumo and he can't play his fucking formation. It's embarrassing. Amorim, I feel sorry for. As I said, I feel sorry for him in relation to having to change the formation because he's going to get it big time. If we win tonight and win against Villa playing a 4-3-3, he's never going to be able to go back to a 3-4-3. Can you imagine the reaction if we play well tonight with a 4-3-3? It's finished. So what did we employ him for? Why did we employ a guy that we're going to get to play a 4-3-3? It's crazy. Because they haven't backed him. If they'd have brought in the players he needed, he wouldn't need to change his formation. But he loses two players. Because Mazraoui doesn't matter. We've got loads of people who can play Mazraoui's position. But losing Ahmad and Mbeumo, and he can't play his system anymore. Nick says, I'm shocked at his comments on the youngsters. Amas is flying at Sheffield Wednesday, just making the same mistakes as previous managers and relying on the older players, says NK99. Mark, why Mount didn't play midfield and Bruno in the 10, says Faisal. I don't know. Kai says, Amrim's not changing his formation, Mark. I think with Mason Mount in the midfield, I think it really does come down to the fact that, you know, his body's probably not capable of doing it. There was one other thing I wanted to talk about as well. Amrim, on if Mainoo asked to leave on loan in January, what would he think about that? He says, the team comes first, and if Cobby comes to me and talks to me, I will talk with him. I'm not going to say what I'm going to say to Cobby, but I will be really pleased if he's coming to talk to me about that. I just want my players happy, and they understand that every individual has their goals and the frustration. It doesn't help anybody. I mean, what that message is, I just do not know. I'll be happy if Mainoo knocks on my door and says I want to leave because I just want my players to be happy. I mean, mate, this is what the James Ducker said in the Telegraph. Mainoo's exasperation over his current situation at Old Trafford barely needs stating. He feels frozen out by a manager who has yet to start him in a Premier League game this season and wants to leave on loan next month in pursuit of regular playing time. Napoli are heading a disorderly queue of more than a dozen clubs eager to take the 20-year-old. There are figures within the club who are very uneasy about the player's predicament and what a potential exit could signify. I guarantee there'll be people in that football club who think the same as me. They're like, what the hell's going on here? But look, he's not started one Premier League game and we've been shit in half of them. And we've got a manager saying, I'll be really happy if he comes and knocks on my door. I mean, have you not been talking to him for the last 4 months then? I mean, I'm not saying he's happy that he wants him to leave. It sounds like he'd be happy if he came and had the chat with him. You're the manager. Why have you not had the chat with him anyway? It's almost like he's waiting for Mainoo to come and say, I'm unhappy. It's mad. It's absolutely mad. But as I said, there's multiple little stories for you to sort of delve into there. But my issue with the main one is it's if you're an intelligent person and you are and you listen to other interviews, your brain goes, hold on a minute. He did say something completely differently 3 weeks ago. Just seeing United fans saying Bruno is better than Pedri, absolutely mental. Then compare goals when he's at CAM compared to centre midfield. United fans are mental, says Max. Well, Ricky was messaging me yesterday saying that if you take away corners and free kicks, Bruno's got the same amount of assists as Lindelof. I mean, look, Ricky can explain that to you on the fan forum later. He's ready to go. But look, Bruno's always going to look good on assists and goals. Is it enough? For some people it is. That's all that matters. For some of us, you know, he's not a midfielder. Jack says, don't get me wrong, it's still embarrassing he has to change his formation after saying for over a year he wouldn't. Looks like he's caving to pressure, and if that's true, he's mentally weak. Yes, but also, mate, I do agree with what you said. I think if he looks at it and goes, I'm going to lose games playing my formation, I'm going to change it to do something that's going to limit the chances of us losing, then that shows, like you say, tactical maturity. But it's the reason he's having to do it. He doesn't have the players to play his system. So he's having to go back to a system that's not his. So, I mean, I don't think people can understand how embarrassing it is that we've spent a year trying to teach these players a certain way. And over the last week, he's teaching them to play a 4-3-3 again because Amas and Ahmad are heading off to the AFCON, which he knew about in the summer. And the club knew about in the summer. I'm not happy that a manager that's about one system, he's having to train them in another system because two players he knew that were going to go anyway are going. It's because he's not got the players. I've said it so many times, it's boring, but why did we recruit Ruben Amorim? That's the question. Why did we recruit Ruben Amorim? Because I got excited on the theory that we were going to change formation and buy a lot of players. A year later, he's having to change his formation because he doesn't have those players. So why did we recruit him in the first place? Why did we recruit Ruben Amorim? And only Sir Jim Ratcliffe can answer that question, because if I was the owner of Man United and my CEO or my director of football said, go and get Ruben Amorim, I would say, okay, I know about football. That's a very different system to the one we play here. We don't have the players to play it. So where is the half a billion to a billion to back that manager to play like that? Because I like it, but he's going to need that. Well, we haven't got the money. Well, he can't be the guy then. You can't just get him because he's good. You have to go, yes, he's good, but to be good here, he needs that investment and we haven't got it. So we'd be better off getting a 4-3-3 manager who might not be as good as Amorim, but suits the players we've got. And we can, you know, get the results in the short term and gradually move to something like that. But nobody seemed to have that thought. Nobody seemed to. Do we have enough midfielders for 4-3-3, says Stewie? Yeah, because it will be... I mean, look, if we go to 4-3-3, it could be good for Maney. Maybe Maney will play tonight. Maybe he will. If Maney goes, he will replace him. They should buy a centre midfielder, says Faisal. Imagine if he goes to 4-3-3 tonight and Maney starts. It would be hilarious. I'm sorry, I've been away for a lovely weekend and haven't really been able to read the live chat because they've not been live shows. And I've come back and for some reason, it might be the timing of the show, we don't seem to have many moderators, but there seems to be a large number of morons in the chat, as I would describe it, because this show's way above your headline, because it's not about Amorim out or Amorim in. Like, we're moving around different things here. Like, Amorim's at fault for blaming the youth and he's contradicting himself on Maynou, but he's having to change the formation because he's not been backed by the owners, who never should have given him the job in the first place. Yeah, some of you just can't understand it, I know, but you know, it's a lot of people can. And the nuance of conversation, you know, and wanting this club to have standards. But you won't be here for very long. He's gone. That idiot's gone. Don't worry. Same reason we went for Ten Hag. New and exciting toy, says Seth. Look, I agree with you, Seth. I think, unfortunately, it's very scary and sad to say this, but our ownership think like this. Good manager, bad club. Good manager at bad club, good club. Doesn't work like that. Also, they've got no idea at all about the DNA. Somebody at that football club should have had Ruben Amorim in this morning reprimanding him, saying, what the fuck are you saying that for about the youth? I bet nobody said a bloody word to him. I bet nobody has told him and pulled him up about it. I bet they've gone, Ruben, don't worry, we get shit all the time too. The standards are on the floor. There is no vision. And the performances haven't been good enough. We're surviving on results. Let's hope tonight we get a bit of performance and a result. But ultimately, let's hope we get a result. But still, the question marks are there. What's the vision of this football club? And why are we abandoning a vision a year after it started? Because if I see 4-3-3 tonight, I'm like, well, is this another reset? Are we keeping this for a month? Are we keeping it forever? Why are we doing this? You know, it's confusing, but ultimately it's match day, so we're going to get to see what it's all about. I still do not have the answer either as to whether Ahmad, Mbeumo or Mazraoui are playing tonight. I think they are. It's been kept very quiet. There was a story about Betis, who are playing tonight, not having a couple of Moroccan players. But I think that as things are at the moment, it feels like they are going to be involved, but it's not been confirmed. And look, I agree with what Beth tweeted about 45 minutes ago. On the one hand, I'd be buzzing to see a 4-3-3, but on the other hand, would we be playing that formation for the first time under this manager without our only two wingers in the squad, Mbeumo and Ahmad? I think I agree with Beth. Look, do I think 4-3-3 suits this team better? Yes. But why did we recruit a 3-4-3 manager to turn him into a 4-3-3 manager? It's embarrassing on the ownership. I feel for Amorim. He's almost abandoned what he's about, hasn't he, and gone, fuck it, you know. But we'll see. Somebody just said if he plays a 4-3-3, they may as well sack him. In a way, we'll have to just see how long he does it. But imagine in a year's time, we're a 4-3-3 team in the Champions League, and we'd all laugh, go, how lucky are we? We recruited a guy on a 3-4-3, and he's now playing a 4-3-3, doing really well. Let's hope. But the funny thing is, and I'll leave it here before I go, I actually think if we play the 3-4-3 against Bournemouth, we will win because they play a high line and they leave a lot of space. I think this formation works well against teams that attack us. Bournemouth are going to attack us. So I think I was actually quite confident tonight about the 3-4-3. And we will have Ahmad and Mbeumo. So why would you change it? Surely tonight we play the 3-4-3 and then Villa we start playing the 4-3-3. But I don't know. Hopefully third time's the charm. A third consecutive week with chance to move up to fifth in the table. Great to see you back, Mark. Good day. I'm refreshed and ready to go, Ron. If we sell Mainoo, it will be the same mistake when Mourinho sold Kevin De Bruyne, says Faisal. If we only play a 4-3-3 until we buy someone in January, fine. If it's more than that, sack Amorim in the summer, says Gross. Thank you. Well, look, good to be back. We'll be live early tonight because it's countdown to kickoff at 6. I'm with you at 7:30 for the watch along for an 8 o'clock kickoff against Bournemouth. Results didn't massively go for us this weekend, but they couldn't not go for us in some ways because Palace played Man City and Everton played Chelsea. But look, the big five at the moment, Liverpool, Man City, Arsenal, Chelsea and Villa all won. If we want to be in that five, we need to win tonight. Thanks everyone for watching. Make sure you smash on the like on the video. Great show today. Lots of you getting involved. Match day as well. Let's get the win tonight and see what happens. Take care. Speak to you all in a bit.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury. The consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.